Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Love. I love that. Sacrifice was more than enough. Psalm number 89 this morning. Psalm number 89 for our text. When you find that, I want you to hold your finger there and find Romans chapter 10. We'll read a couple verses in Psalm number 89. And then we'll read a few verses in Romans chapter 10. Psalm number 89. And then Romans chapter 10. Thank the Lord for Sister Williams, who just sang just a moment ago. She is our child care director. And our child care has not officially begun yet, but there has been a ton of work done. A ton of work. By more than just her, she's done a lot of it. I was up here cutting some grass last night, and she was out there in the backyard bleaching and washing some toys that we bought recently from a lady that used to have a child care, and I got a real good haul from her, and she was back there in the backyard washing those toys last night. Night before that, she had a few people that she recruited to help her do the same. And so we've had a lot of people in our church be involved in that ministry. And then I talked about the football as well. These are our two newest ministries at Open Door Baptist Church. And we've had a lot of people be involved in the football ministry as well, not just giving funds, but also be involved physically. And I tell you, it's exciting to see the things that are going on. Just saw some things yesterday morning, heard another great testimony yesterday afternoon that somebody said, you know, basically, I don't know exactly what it would have been like for me and my family had we not found this team. And the team that Open Door Baptist Church is supporting and has as a ministry, and we've even got some people that are here this morning physically in our midst because of Scorcher football. And so I just want to publicly praise the Lord for His goodness in these ministries that He's allowed us to have at our church. Psalm number 89 this morning, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Psalm number 89 beginning in verse number 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Romans chapter 10, notice in verse number 1, Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Drop down to verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? He's speaking specifically about Israel now. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, have they not? Where am I at here? Drop down to verse number 19. I'm sorry. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Notice what he asked initially, verse number 18. But I say, have they not heard? Verse number 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So I want to bring a message this morning entitled very simply, do you know the sound? Do you know the sound? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, mercy, and goodness. Thank you, Lord, that in our minds and in our hearts, we can see you hanging on the cross, bearing our sin and our shame and our guilt and our penalty, so that we could be born again into your family, so that we can be reconciled to a holy and a righteous God. And I pray this morning that every individual under the sound of my voice this morning will know the sound. And help us, Lord, to live a life that shows that we know. And I pray this morning that if there is somebody that does not know the sound, has never experienced the sound, the joyful sound, Jesus saves, I pray they'll hear it this morning and be responsive to it. In Jesus' name, amen. There are times in my life when I am simply fascinated about the complex nature of the human body. For instance, lately I've pondered the body's recharging capability without having to be plugged in. Now, bear with me. I'm a simple mind, so these are simple thoughts that I have. Although I realize that food is converted into energy, the body still won't operate. I mean, literally will not operate to the point that it will die without a resting period in which it is recharged. Seems like there are some folks that are in need of recharging this morning, and maybe you'll get a nap this afternoon, all right? But literally, we cannot survive. We will die without proper rest. And this is the way my mind thinks. I wish that my cell phone, for instance, worked the exact same way. You got to plug it in every night or whenever. You got to put it on some sort of a base and attach it to something. Wouldn't it be something? Brother Matt, if you could come up with that technology where you just put your cell phone to sleep for a few hours and then it automatically charges back up, we could make a lot of money. We, you and I. Because I gave you the idea. This body that God has designed for us is truly awesome. It really is. How can somebody look at the human body, understand even a little bit about the way that it functions, and not believe in a designer and a creator? Today, we're considering the hearing of the body. The Cleveland Clinic breaks down the hearing process into 5 steps. Y'all didn't know y'all were going to get some science this morning, all right? But I'm going to do my best to tell you these steps. Number one, sound waves travel through your ear canal to your eardrum and cause it to vibrate. Number two, the vibrations travel from your eardrum to your, you ready for this one? Ossicles. These are tiny bones in our middle ear. Number three, the ossicles send the vibrations to our cochlea. I remember cochlea from my early days there in school. The cochlea, a spiral cavity in our inner ear that's lined with hair cells. Not hair, but hair cells, whatever that is. Number four, the tiny hair cells vibrate and send messages to the auditory nerve. This is the nerve that connects our ears to our brain. And finally, number five, the brain receives this information and translates it into sound. Now, you explain that for me in layman's terms, and I'll stand by while you do and hope to understand it. It truly is miraculous. In other words, this is in the words of the Cleveland Clinic, your brain is where your sense of hearing, I love this, comes to life. Now, how that works, again, I don't know. All I can say is, but God. God has much to say, including in Romans chapter 10, about hearing the sound of His voice. Now, I want you to hold your finger wherever you are right now and go to Job chapter 37. Job chapter number 37. I said God has a lot to say about us hearing the sound of His voice. Job chapter number 37, notice verse number 1. Job 37, verse number 1. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Did y'all hear me say that I'm fascinated? I really am. I'm fascinated. I'm astonished by the way that the Lord has put this body together. At this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. God is talking about lightning and thunder, and God says, it's my voice that causes the clap of the lightning and the roar of the thunder. The Bible says, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. We can look within our bodies, we can look out into the body of creation, and we can see some things and we can hear some things that are totally awesome, totally fascinating, things by which science has no real answer. Now, they can tell us the process like the Cleveland Clinic did, but when I read that process, I say at the end of it, how? How does the brain work with this nerve and ultimately translate this sound to where there's meaning that comes about? It's awesome. Psalm 89:15 is distinct, though, in that it prescribes and pronounces blessing. And I want to give you the definition for blessing again. I've been trying to really highlight this as I see it in the Word of God. This is one of those terms I called in Sunday school a little while ago, Christianese. It's thrown around a lot. We see the word a lot, blessed, blessed, blessing. Psalm 89:15, it's distinct. It prescribes and pronounces blessing. That position of excelling and exceeding that results in happiness. That is what it means truly to be blessed. It is a position of exceeding and excelling. And I understand that oftentimes it's translated happy. Happy is the man. Happy are the people. But why are they happy? Because they're in a position that truly brings happiness to their heart. And God tells us in Psalm 89:15 that a blessing is prescribed and pronounced upon the people that know the joyful sound. Did you hear it? He didn't say blessing is upon the people that hear the joyful sound. He said, my blessing is upon those that know the joyful sound. What's the key? It is one thing to hear a sound. It's another thing entirely to recognize and realize the sound as joyful, to the point of it resonating and resounding to raise a person to a position of true blessing. Now that's kind of a mouthful, but I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying this morning, and really, this is the crux of the message. It's one thing to hear a sound. Folks, there's a lot of joyful sound that has gone out and is going out specifically in the United States of America today. And I'm talking about truly joyful sound. This is the truly joyful sound. And there's a lot of it that goes out, and there's a lot of people that have heard the joyful sound with their physical ears. But the question today is not whether we hear the sound. The question is whether we know the sound. That's the distinction. To the point that it resonates and resounds to raise a person to a position of true blessing, that this sound moves us into a position of true blessing. Just as God has created our physical hearing so that our sense of hearing, did you hear what the Cleveland Clinic says? So that our sense of hearing may come to life. God also has established a process, miraculous and mysterious, by which our spiritual sense of hearing may come to life. And we may react and respond accordingly to move to an exalted position. There's a lot of religious talks and sermons and messages that have been given all throughout the years of human history. But the question is not, did you hear the sermon? Did you hear the talk? Did you hear the message? Here's the question this morning. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know what God is talking about? Do you recognize that joyful sound? Has it moved us to a place of true blessing? So I want to look at this exalted position for a moment. I want us to notice what God says about this people. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And then He gives us three things that will occur in the life of somebody that knows the joyful sound. Number one, He says, they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. I couldn't help myself, young people that went to camp a few weeks ago, but I started singing the song. Walk, 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 walk in the light. Y'all remember that one? Yeah. Yeah. Walking in the light of the Lord. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. I want you to see some scripture concerning the light of the Lord's countenance. 1 John chapter 1, turn over there if you would. I'm going to ask you to turn quickly because I've got several passages of scripture specifically for this point. But I want you to see it from the Word. These people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Notice that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to fellowship one with another? What does it mean to fellowship with the Lord God? We could take it all the way back to the garden when the Bible says that Adam, before the fall, he walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. He had fellowship with God. He was walking with God. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Why is it that a believer can live a victorious life constantly and consistently, living a life where sin is conquered, where sin is put to death, where this fleshly body with all of its carnal impulses is put to death, and a Christian is able to walk in victory, walk different from the course of this world, because he's walking in the light? And why is that? Because he knows the joyful sound. Jesus said about himself in John chapter 8, verse number 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And when we know the joyful sound, we can begin to walk in the light as Jesus walked into the light. Can I tell you how Jesus walked in the light? He never said or thought or did any evil thing. Not one time. Why? He was walking in the light. He was the light. He is the light. Acts chapter 26, verse number 16. But rise, God said to Saul before he became the Apostle Paul, and he's recounting his testimony. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now that's very important, because the things that he had seen was a bright light shining that really literally blinded him. That was his salvation testimony. But God didn't stop there. God said, I've got some things further to be able to show you, and I want you to minister those things to others. So it's not just, 34 years ago, I got born again into the family of God. That's not just my testimony. It's certainly the beginning of my testimony and the most important part of my testimony. But as I have begun to walk in the light of the Lord's been good to me. The Lord's done wonderful things for me. There are things that I once struggled with and overcame me in a way now that I have victory in my life, because I'm walking in the light. Verse number 17, Acts 26, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Then he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Apostle Paul, you're not even the Apostle Paul yet, but I've saved you for a purpose. And one of those purposes is that you might walk in the light of my countenance and live completely differently than you lived before. I have trouble with somebody that professes to know the joyful sound, but nothing about their life has ever changed. They still walk the way that they used to walk. They still walk in the same places. They still walk with the same people. They still walk with the same motives that they used to walk with. God says those that know the joyful sound, they'll walk in the light of thy countenance. Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I curse this morning the darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm so thankful that I came into relationship as a 6-year-old boy with He that is light, immortal, and eternal to be able to conquer that darkness that death brings. And it will bring it momentarily if Jesus tarries his coming in my life and yours, but we don't have to worry about that darkness being eternal. Have you considered that hell and ultimately the lake of fire, it's a place of complete darkness? And if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ being your personal Lord and Savior, friend, not only will you spend eternity in that lake of fire, but it will be dark forever. Those that know the joyful sound will walk in the light of His countenance. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm talking about walking in the light of His countenance. And as a result of us being able to walk in the light, we can lead somebody else to be able to walk in that light. Can the blind lead the blind? What is blindness? It's simply darkness. The eyes cannot see. It's a state of darkness. And when the Lord gives sight spiritually to our blind eyes, then we can lead somebody else. Oh, but the blind leading the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. And I see a lot of folks who profess to have heard and maybe even know the joyful sound, but their life seemingly is lived in the ditch. It ought not be for the child of God. Isaiah 59, verse number 9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. What was Israel waiting on? They were waiting on God's salvation. And unfortunately, based on the book of Romans and many other passages in Scripture, they did not realize who He was. And so they went about worshiping false idols. And today, in large part, Israel is worshiping a dead system of religion. Why? They've not known the joyful sound. But those that do get to walk in the light of His countenance. Are we walking with Him today, Christian? We profess to have heard the joyful sound. Are we walking like we actually know it? Number two, not only shall they walk in the light of His countenance, but number two, the Bible says in Psalm 89, verse number 16, they shall rejoice in thy name all the day. Now, if you were here last Sunday evening, you know that the first of our seven habits of highly mature Christians is Huh? Joy, yes, but what is it specifically? What does the verse say? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is number four? Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm trying to commit those to memory. I want to live by those things. They shall rejoice in thy name all the day. Rejoice evermore. Look at the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. Nehemiah, chapter number 8. You know, we quote one verse or one portion. This can get you in trouble, folks. Constantly quoting one little phrase or one little verse of Scripture, it'll really get you in trouble if you attempt to build an entire system of religion based on one phrase or one verse. That's how Satan gets you. Well, here it is. God said, whatever God said. And I'm going to build my whole system of religion based off of this. You better check context. Notice this passage, Nehemiah chapter 8. Israel was in need at this point of revival. And thankfully, there was a small portion of it coming. There was no national revival. But there was a small portion of revival that came. Nehemiah chapter 8, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Notice that. Bring the book. Hear me this morning. I don't care how eloquent the message may sound, how much it tickles the ears, how much, oh, it's summertime, we're going to go to church where we talk about the movies and connect it to the Scriptures. We better be careful that the book is what is exalted. The book of the law of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear, these are important words, with understanding. Now, I believe that's talking about those that were old enough or mentally capable enough to understand. I believe it includes that, but I believe it goes further than that. We're going to see that here in just a moment. All that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, I don't know how many hours this was, folks, but God help us when we can't survive an hour of a church service. I didn't say an hour of preaching or an hour of a Sunday school. But when we can't survive and be plugged in to an hour of preaching when the air is going and we're pretty comfortable, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to be like these folks and be out in the street somewhere. If we were all sweating profusely this morning, maybe we would stay awake a little better. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Not saying anybody's going to sleep. All right. Verse number 3. And the ears of all the people, notice this, were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah and Shemon, Anaiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, on the right hand, on his left hand, Padiah, and Mishael, and Micaiah, Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. He recalled God's perfectly established position of excelling and exceeding. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands. Folks, if you say amen and lift your hands this morning, I won't be upset with you, all right? And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We could stand to do that as well. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to, notice it, understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now, I want you to notice what occurred. Verse number 9. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha or the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Notice this, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were convicted in their heart, and godly sorrow came as a result. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites still all the people saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. These folks came into the house of the Lord, even though it was outside, but the word of God was going forward. And they came into the house of the Lord as a result. And they were broken by what they heard. They were broken because they understood their position in comparison to God's holy and righteous and exalted position. And they were grieved in their heart. And he said to them, you don't have to leave grieved. You can go out with the joy of the Lord and you can tell somebody else about it. Psalm number 89, verse number 17, right there in our text passage. Thou art the glory of their strength. Those that know the joyful sound will rejoice in His name all the day. How do we talk? How do we go about our day, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment? How do we go about it? Do we go about it with joy? Are we strong in the Lord as we ought to be? You say, what are you saying, Pastor Taylor, this morning? If we know the joyful sound, we ought to live in such a way that we rejoice in His name all the day. Things are going good, rejoice in the Lord. Things are going bad, here go my emotions following the circumstances. I've got to be reminded, rejoice in His name. He's good. There are some folks out here in our society that don't know the joyful sound, and they need to see us rejoicing in the Lord all the day. Not just when everything's hunky-dory. Not just when we're getting along with our spouse. Not just when our children are minding the way that they ought to. Not just when the bills are paid. Not just when our health seems to be in good order, but rejoicing in the Lord all the day. Those that know the joyful sound will walk in the light of His countenance, will rejoice in His name all the day. You know this? There's always, when we think about the name of God, there's always something in which to rejoice. Always. That's why we need to know about our God. We need to know His names. We need to know His characteristics so that when bad things come, because they are coming, we can rejoice in His name. Number 3, they shall be exalted in thy righteousness. 1, they'll walk in the light of your countenance. 2, they'll rejoice in your name all the day. Number 3, they shall, this is interesting, the first two are actions. They shall walk, they shall rejoice. This third one's interesting to me. They shall be. Meaning this is just who you'll know these folks to be. Not about really any action, walking, the way they walk, the way they rejoice. This is just who they are. This is who they've become. And when somebody asks about you or me, they ought to think, that's just who they are. Now, no, not on Sundays. It seems like it's easy for us to walk sort of close to what we should on Sunday, you know, and rejoice the way we should on Sunday. But I'm talking about on Monday as well. Tuesday and Thursday, Friday. That's just who we are. We just walk in the light. We just rejoice in His name. That's just who we are as believers. It's a consistent testimony. Look back at Psalm number 89. Second part of verse number 16 tells us about this. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Verse number 17, the second part says, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Hear me this morning. I had to look and do some studying and try to figure, okay, I've heard this horn and I know it to be exalted, but what in the world is this talking about? And it's mentioned over and over in Scripture. And what it seems like it's talking about is an image of a victorious bull that's fighting and has won the fight. And this bull apparently raises up its horns. This is a position of victory. That's what this seems to be talking about. Thy favor, our horn, in Thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. In other words, we're going to live a life of victory. Living on top of the world instead of living below the world. Living above my flesh instead of living below my flesh. A life of victory. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34 still says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. And so if we are going to be exalted into a place where we truly are above the things that would bring us down as human beings, as a human race, we've got to know the joyful sound. Look there in Psalm 89 as we get ready to close, verse number 19. Psalm 89, 19. Then thou spakest in the vision to thy Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Is it any wonder that Mary talked about her horn? Is it any wonder that Elizabeth, in talking about her son, John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Christ, talked about the horn being exalted? This is prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. David had good days and David had bad days. David had days where he was victorious and David had days where he was conquered. But the one that this is speaking about today in prophecy, he's never been conquered. You say, but wait a minute. He died on that old rugged cross, didn't he? He was buried for 3 days, didn't he? Oh yeah, he voluntarily laid down his life, but he was never conquered. His position is one of eternal exaltation, and those that know the sound, the joyful sound, may be exalted to that same position in righteousness. Romans 10, 18 and 19, we read it. It informs us that we can hear even the words, listen to this morning, folks, and we're done. We can hear even the words that come directly from ourselves and not know. I've heard testimonies of folks that said they gave somebody else the gospel. They witnessed to somebody else and they were not even born again. This is essentially what Israel did. Israel many times would proclaim things and do things, and it wasn't even in their heart. Certainly not as a nation. So there were words and messages that were going out from their very lips, but they didn't know. For it's not a religious feeling or religious acts that make us blessed. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, Israel, you've got a great zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. You don't know God. It's not about a religious feeling or religious acts. It is knowing the sound of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said that I may know Him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because nothing else mattered, Corinth. You are a very eloquent society, and I could have talked about a myriad of things of which I was well aware and versed, and I could have talked about those things, but I chose if there was one topic for which you needed to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And folks, we can know all sorts of things, but if we don't know Jesus Christ, if we can't confidently tell somebody else about Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen again, then there is no option for that person to truly be exalted to that place of blessing. There are those of us that have, as believers, we heard at one time, we even knew the sound. We became in relationship with the Lord, but we're not living a life that says that we know Him. We're not talking with Him on a regular basis and hearing from Him on a regular basis and fellowshipping with Him on a regular basis. Maybe that's the reason why our walk is not what it ought to be, why our rejoicing is not what it ought to be, why people don't just know us to be what we ought to be. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. What would cause somebody to climb steeps and cross the waves to let somebody know Jesus saves? What would cause somebody to do that? They know the joyful sound. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I want you to just ask yourself this question first and foremost. Do you know the sound this morning? If you'd say, yeah, I know the sound, I know Christ as my personal Savior, is it a daily thing? Is it not just something that occurred years ago? Yeah, I got saved. Yeah, I got born again. But it's something where you can say, today, I fellowship with my Father. Today, I rejoice in His name. Today, I'm exalted. I'm living above the circumstances. Things aren't going all the way that they ought to, but I can rejoice in the Lord, and I'm strong in Him today because I know Him today. Do you know the sound today? You have to answer that question. I have to answer that question for us. Not have we heard it. There's a lot of folks that have heard the joyful sound. I'm asking, do you know the joyful sound? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.